she's a lonesome, never had a friend. Always looking out for number one. Didn't know where I was going, didn't know where I had been. The life I lived had me on the run. One day Jesus found me and took my sin away. Show me what I thought I'd never seen. He put me in his family, and he's with me to this day. Let me tell you, my salvation's done for me. I used to be a blind man, but now my vision's clear. Mercy came and Jesus, who drives out every fear, stronger than I thought I'd ever be. I can't tell you why he loves me, as bad as I have been, why I'm worthy of this life of victory. I know I'm not a scholar, drives out every fear, stronger than I thought I'd ever be. Can't tell you why he loves me, as bad as I have been, why I'm worthy of this life of victory. I know I'm not a scholar, just a sinner. Why he loves me.
Ask God that this time that sets before us now, Lord, that would take it and redeem it to yourself, Lord. Use it for your purpose. Use it, Lord, for the desire of your heart. Know that your children, Lord, have come this day. Lord, that you are mindful of their needs. You're mindful of everything that they're going through at this moment, Lord. I know, God, that you as the great shepherd, you're more than able and willing, Lord, to speak into their lives the strength that they need today. So, Lord, we just commit this time to your hands and ask, God, that you would get each one of us out of the way. Lord, any spirit that would try to hinder, we ask, God, that you would just move it by the ministry of the word. Lord, let us sit with a clear understanding in the midst of heaven this morning, in the midst of thy word, that we can clearly understand and make choices of life changing choices, Lord, this day. We ask, God, that you would do these things and bless those that aren't here for whatever purpose. We ask, God, that you would help them, Lord, that they could be able to return to the house of God. We love you, Lord, and just want you to have your way this morning. We don't want to get in your way in any form or fashion, Lord, just to surrender and move and let you have this pulpit, let you have everything that's said and done, Lord, let it be for thy glory. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Musicians can go ahead and go to their seats. Praise the Lord. Amen. Made it another week. Yeah. I was telling some of the brothers back there a while ago that the saints come to the house of God, that makes you a mighty conqueror, because you're still standing. You still have a desire to come and be in the house of God, so that makes you a mighty conqueror in the eyes of God. So we thank God for helping us, don't we? Yes. We'll be here. You know, this life is a life of battles, and I wish I could tell you, saints, that from this day forward it's not going to be, but there's no way. I'd be a false teacher, false preacher if I told you that. Consequently, I think what I can tell you is that it will be all out war from this time forward, worse than ever before. And so when God's children are victorious, we have more than conquerors through him. And so we just want to just surrender this time to the Lord this morning. And gonna be part two of Prove All Things this morning. And to title this morning, subtitle, to try every spirit. I mean, believe we're supposed to try the spirit to see whether they be of God or not. And so we don't want to let down the bar on that one for sure, because we're living in a tremendous time where that's very important. It's always been important, but especially now. And so we'll go ahead and read scripture so you can be seated. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Just a little something that Jesus spoke to his disciples, to the people that were gathered there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. How many believe this? Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Amen? I just now thought of it, but you know, I tried to plant a garden, and I had planted some peppers, and we start the seeds in these little old trays, you know, and we set the trays in the window so the sun could come in on like that. Well, and I had these little popsicle sticks that had the name of the peppers written on it, and I had it stuck in there where the peppers were. And it had jalapenos and cayennes and orange bell peppers. Well, one of them trays got knocked off, and the little markers got separated from what it was. And I knew, I mean, I could tell what group it was, but I no longer knew whether it was cayenne or jalapeno. And so I just marked on there pepper number one, pepper number two, on all of them. It was group one, and all of them was group two. And I thought, well, I'll find out one of these days what they are. Well, this morning I went out there because my crops got to late start. And it's kind of funny that I didn't plant it this way, but I just remembered this morning I went out there and I've been watching for peppers. And sure enough, I went out there and I began to see the cayennes. They're a little long, you know, beginning to stick out. So I know now which one is cayenne, and I'm still waiting on the others. But anyway, you'll know them by their fruit. When they put forth fruit, then you'll figure out what they are right there. So anyway, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, what day do you think he's talking about? Right? In the day when it's all panned out, we all come out to find out what's going on, and they're standing before him. Many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? So they're standing before him at judgment. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Therefore, he said all those things, right? And said, now therefore, based upon this, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Amen. You believe that? Now let's go to 1 John chapter 4. She'll have it on the board if you want to just look up there. So it says 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, speaking to his bride, bride of Christ, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that's a present tense word, is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us, heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He just laid it all out there, didn't he? We have one more scripture. It'll be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Let's pray one more time. Lord Jesus, as we've read your word this morning, we realize, Lord, that we could just absolutely in the service right at this moment, and Lord, we would have already been in an anointed service because your word is anointed. Lord, we thank you because of that. We thank you, Lord, because in the midst of all of our frailty and all of our weaknesses as humanity, Lord, that you still stand there as the faithful and true witness to your word, bringing it to pass. And Lord, you're faithful to assemble here as the great shepherd to feed your flock. We love you, Lord, and I too, Lord, set before you this morning, asking God that you would feed me. I know, God, as your word comes forth, you'll take care of those things for your people. And so we just surrender to you now and ask that you'd help us in these things. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I mean, love the Lord. How could you not? How could you not? I'm so glad that this life is not what it's all about. This is not the sum of it, I guess is what I want to say there. So glad that this is not the sum of it. One day we'll step into another dimension and we'll look back on this one like we had a dream and we just barely can remember it. We'll think about that. We'll wake up over there and we'll start telling the dream we had. We'll start telling our testimony of victory over here and we'll tell it to our brothers and sisters. And you know what? We've been reading in the Church Age book on Wednesday nights and was reading about some of these messengers and some of the things that they did. And you know, God's got a sense of humor sometimes. one of the messengers, I forget which one it was, that right now, but he'd come in, the king didn't want to hear him, so God just set fire to the seat that the king was sitting in, or whatever emperor was sitting in, you know. Different things like that would happen, and it's kind of a sense of humor, but God would make different ones pay respect to the word. And so we were talking about that, and we read this last week about St. Patrick and how he was kidnapped and his sisters and how he trained dogs to protect him or to cover him up and that sort of thing. And we were just saying, you know what? To sit on the other side in eternity and listen to every person's testimony, what that's going to hold. That will be awesome. And so we're just looking forward to that. But meanwhile, we press on here. Prove all things, part two. Try every spirit. Saints, I want to tell you something. I know that the message is being questioned and by a lot of people, and I know the devil always has been attacking it and everything. But I'm going to tell you that I don't second guess God. I try not to. If I do, I don't mean to. I know we all have our weaknesses and that sort of thing, where sometimes that Satan tries to get us to doubt things. But I'm not going to second guess God and say, you know, well, I'm not really sure whether He has really poured out into the land today what we need. Because what I mentioned it the other day, if God doesn't take care of us, then He's not a good provider. Right. That would make Him worse than an infidel, according to His own word, right? And you're not going to hold that against God, because God takes care of His own. So He gives them what He's given us what we need. He poured it out. It's in the earth. It's in His word. It's in the land. It's being moved upon by His Holy Spirit to bring it to pass. And we just got to get on board with what it is that God is doing. And so I'm going to be real emphatic here. Sometimes I won't be dogmatic about things. But I'm going to tell you that I believe with all my heart that everything that we need to give us rapture, everything we need to get us to understand the world that we are in today and what it is and how to interact with it, I believe every bit of it was brought to us this day and is found laying on those tapes, laying in those sermons that was given by a prophet. Now, and I've mentioned, you know, that we come into this world with an appetite for truth. So when we come across a truth, we recognize it. And whether it be Billy Graham could tell us the truth, and if it was something that was there in the scriptures and something ordained for this hour to be quickened, then we would recognize that. And it wouldn't make no difference. After that, once you latch hold to that truth, and it's a revelation, because remember, the gates of hell cannot prevail against revelation, right? Right. The revelation of the Word, who Christ is. He's the Word. And so once you have a revelation, it don't make any difference what comes up. You are sitting there looking at your husband, the Word, Christ Jesus, the Word, and you see Him in plain view in that revelation. And so it doesn't matter. And you know, I was showing Benjamin some of these pictures, you know, that they have where it's a drawing maybe of the woods and stuff, and there'll be little bitty animals embedded in there. And I've mentioned this before, you know, and you look and you try to find the cow or you try to find the lizard or whatever, you know, and after a while, once you see it, well, then every time you look at the picture, you can easily see it. And the Word is like that. You know, there were mysteries, there were things in the Word that was hidden there, but God has pointed those out to us in this day, and once you see it, then you know it's in the Word. There's no question about it. Now, does that mean everybody else sees it? No, you can show it to them, they know it. But you know, we were ordained to have to look at the picture of God's Word today, and in its time to be completed in this hour, is like one of those pictures, and there were mystery truths in there that we were to see. And there was one standing here that God sent called the seventh angel messenger, who was, through that ministry, was to tell us how to look and where to look here and see those things. And he allowed us, through his instructions and the Holy Spirit working through him, allowed us to see these truths and these mysteries. Now, he doesn't have to be here anymore for me to still see those truths and realize they're there. It'll forever be settled in my conscience the truths that have been brought. I'll never question those things because I recognize them as truths. And so I believe that everything that we need has been delivered to us, and we need to take to heart. In other words, there's a lot of things maybe that Brother Branham preached that maybe people just just think that was something he said. But I'm finding out more and more that they were pertinent, and they really are directions for he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. There really are directions and things that we can glean out of that. And if we were looking at that picture I was just mentioned ago, a little while ago, with all the mysteries and that sort of thing, and once you saw the hidden mysteries there, then you could see what the picture was really all about, and what you're looking at is Christ. Well, that's what it's supposed to be. Yeah. All these things are to make him become more real to us.
Right.
Not just in intellect, but actually in our heart, in our walk, in the whole moving of our spirit is to become one with that image that we have looked at in the Word has actually come down, and it's become so real that he actually came to this earth and is now here in a form he wasn't prior to the opening of the seals. And here he is now as our husband, and we are to embrace him. These truths, these things that are given, and by embracing him, you know, when a woman embraces the husband in marriage, she receives a tremendous amount of protection by that union. All of her entire care and her upkeep and all that's now on his shoulders. See? So she's just got to embrace that, embrace him, and that becomes her protection, and that becomes all the thing that she needs. And so that's the purpose of this message of this day, was to bring us to a place where we could know him in a fashion that he would actually be her husband, and we would be his wife, be his bride. And so in seeing all those things, it'll bring us protection. Why? Because we'll know, we'll understand. It'll give us tremendous ability to look out there and see the other spirits, so that's contrary, the other spirits in spirit in the framework of the church, to make us an invincible army, right? Isn't that what he's supposed to do? We're actually saints, week after week, year after year, we're actually supposed to be getting better at identifying the devil when he walks up. And so better at being able to analyze fruit and recognize what it is and then treat it as such. And so I believe that I'm, you know, just trying to say that we're going to go back in this series I'm starting now. We're going to go back and look at a lot of things that Brother Graham said to show you that we really are what we've all been saying. We really are there. The more that you can see of the picture of that Word of Christ coming real to you, the more convinced you're going to be of who you are, who he is, and who the devil is.
Yeah.
And how to make him stand, make the devil stand off and obey the Word in your life. And so that's what we want to do. We want to go into that. And so I know every service that we're here, somebody's missing. And, you know, for me, all week long, almost, I'd say at least 90% of the time, unless somebody's talking to me and consuming my mental capacity at that moment with something else, I'd say 90% of my time is the Lord's constantly dealing with me about what to bring and how to share the truths that I see, and to bring those things to you that you could be able to be helped from it at the same time. And just constantly. And so every time we come to service, somebody's missing. The next week, somebody else is missing. And so you look at what that does to me, a person who, all week long, I've looked forward to what God has put on my heart to be here. And then there's people that are, you know, that are missing. And I realize there's things that come up, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, but you got something here you want to give and you want to share, and you want to make sure that those that aren't here, that they get it too. And so sometimes you have to go back, and I don't want to spend a lot of time reviewing, but I'll have to in a lot of things. But I'll mention things that I've said in previous services or whatever. And so you just bear with me with that. And so I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I have a responsibility to tell you truth. And you don't want me to stand up here and just kind of shy back and not tell you something that I see. If I can see Satan moving in the midst of the people and working and doing something, I have an obligation to God to point that out. And so, and that's not what this series is about. This series is not about pointing out things to people so much, but I know it will, because I want you to see how Satan moves and works and tries to hinder you. And so it's my job to do that, to keep you feeding on the Word, to keep you feeding and to keep you in in unity and keep the waters, still waters and that sort of thing, and to take you to new pastures, take you to higher plains. You know, in other words, it's my job not just to let you sit here on one plane and constantly feed on one thing and just everything's hunky-dory. It's my job to continue to draw you and challenge you to feed on higher things, higher revelations, and to move higher in the Lord. And so I have that responsibility to do that, and that responsibility to speak truth into your daily walk. To speak, I can't tell you what to do. I can't dictate your life. I don't want to dictate your life. But as long as I've got time to stand here before you and you hear me, I want to speak truth into your daily walk, into your life, so that you can gain from that. Because that's what I want in your life. I mean, we don't sit and rub shoulders and have fellowship and all the things that we've done over the years and not care about one another. We care tremendously about each other. And especially for me, in my spot, if I didn't care about you, I wouldn't do you any good. See? But I want you to be victorious in everything in your life, and so I have to tell you the truth. I have to be concerned about what you hear, what you're feeding on. I have to be concerned about how you look at a certain thing and perceive it. I have to, because I want to make sure you're perceiving things right and that you're looking at the things through the eyes of God. And I know that we live in a world that wants to make you to where you don't see things correctly. So it's all back to the Word. I've got to get you to make sure that you're looking at things through the Word. And so we just talked about those things the other day, about that responsibility. And so I'm going to do that, and you pray for me. I'm sure if you'll pray for me and have the right attitude about it, I know the Lord will bless you. We need to remember that we are warring against not flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, right? Those powers in high places and that sort of thing. And so you realize that spirits, you don't see them. Spirit don't have flesh or bone and that sort of thing. Jesus told them that. But you know, spirits manifest themselves when they get a body to work through. So when a person goes forth and does something and they're anointed of a spirit, that spirit becomes manifest. Well, if that spirit came down from heaven and anointed a person, and they went and did something, they're manifesting that spirit. And I'll tell you what else they'll do. Not only that, they're not just manifesting that spirit, but when they yield to that spirit from heaven, they actually are making heaven become to manifest more in this dimension. See what I'm saying? They're actually bringing a heavenly environment, a heavenly condition down upon the earth and causing that to be manifested on earth. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And so you can actually yield to the Holy Spirit and you actually bring a touch of heaven onto this earth. In other words, you take a little bit of that dimension and you cause it to blend into this dimension. And the same thing happens when a person yields to a spirit that comes up from beneath. When they yield to a spirit that comes up from beneath, they're going to take on an action or an imagery of that spirit and begin to manifest a society or a condition or a world that's like that world where they come from. Right? That's what we're talking about. We want to try every spirit. Right? We want to try every spirit. And so, and spirits are made manifest when they're made out, when they're fleshed out, or someone actually obeys that spirit, then that is made manifest. And so, you know, I've said this several times in different conversations to different people, and I don't remember if I've said it to the whole church as a whole, but you know, we know that God will not judge a man first before he warns him, right? But as you know also, God won't judge a man until a man actually carries out that deed of that spirit. He won't just judge a man because he's walking in that spirit so much, even though we know he can. But what I'm saying is that God will let that spirit manifest itself in action, and when that's happened, then he can thoroughly bring judgment or condemnation upon the matter. And so I say that because I want you to realize that God is letting Satan build his Eden. If God didn't want to, he wouldn't let it. He's letting Satan build his Eden. He's letting the Antichrist system build. He's letting all these things happen. He's also letting the Holy Spirit bring you to your fruit, your, you know, what you're going to be. But he's letting the Antichrist system, and will actually let that system get so powerful that it actually reigns, the Bible says, for 1 hour, right? Actually reigns on the entire earth. There's actually going to be a moment where Satan actually sits there in that seat and rules this world in its entirety to such a degree that they actually overcome those two prophets that have a 3.5-year ministry where they speak, and if anybody tries to come against them, anybody does anything, fire proceeds out of their mouth, and they actually, according to the prophet, they actually have the ability to call anything they want to, and all of nature will take a tumble underneath those men, and yet that system is allowed to kill those two prophets. So God lets Satan come to and lets him just prove everything that he's got in his heart to do, and then when it's over with, it, he says, got you right there, and he can judge that rightfully because it's been made manifest. So spirits have to manifest, right? Spirits have to manifest. If they come from heaven, they got to manifest. And if they come from beneath, they have to manifest. And when they manifest, they're going to bring that dimension here. Whether it's from beneath or from above. Yeah. They will come here and begin to bring to pass on this earth. And so if you're looking at it from that standpoint, when Lucifer tried to overthrow heaven and they had a war in heaven and he was cast out, the Bible speaks of these wars taking place. You'll find out that war that started there finishes here. It finishes here when those spirits that were there inhabit here and manifest here and clash here. And we call it Armageddon. And there's a spiritual Armageddon that you're fighting right now. And there's a physical Armageddon that'll take place over there in the Middle East. How many agree with that? Yeah. Right? We're fighting that spiritual Armageddon now. And so those spirits are made manifest when they're fleshed out. How many remembers the maniac that came and tried to attack Brother Branham there in Portland, Oregon, I believe it was. I believe that's where it was, but that man had a spirit upon him. And that spirit wanted to manifest. That spirit that wanted to attack preachers and physically harm preachers wouldn't be satisfied sitting back there in the back watching the preacher preach. That spirit's got to. So what I'm going to show you here is because I'm going to plow. I'm going to plow in your tater patches. Because, and especially our young people, I want you to pay attention. And don't count me as being arrogant or anything like that when I call your attention to things firmly, because I want to make sure you're listening to what Brother Tony is saying here. I want you to understand. I want you to recognize when a spirit comes to you. Because even these little ones that are so sweet and precious in our eyes, Satan has got a plan against them. And spirits are going to come to them. And those spirits are going to do what they're notorious for doing, is to manifest in their life another dimension, is exactly what they're going to do, to try and overthrow them. And so I want you to understand that spirits, when they come, they're going to try and do those things, and we'll talk about it. They're deceptive and all kinds of things like that. And so, but those spirits that are sent out to overthrow each one of us, those spirits are not commissioned to sit back in the corner. They're coming. And you have your day, many days. Your whole life is filled with it. That you're going to fight with these, you're going to contend with these spirits that come, and they're coming with a purpose. And and this is what I hope that this series will do, is to cause us to widespread, just blanket the whole thing, recognize when a spirit comes to us and know whether that comes from heaven or whether that comes from beneath, from hell, and recognize that and be able to address it accordingly and interact with it accordingly. In other words, if it's from the devil, to resist it and do better at that. Yeah. Do better at recognizing your day and its message, to be better at that, because we've got to, or we're not going to survive. Right? And I believe you're predestinated to survive. You're predestinated to become that invincible army. And actually look at these things when they come and recognize them for what they are, because Satan wants to attach himself to everything. He wants to influence your speech, your thought, the way you brothers look at a sister or vice versa. He wants to affect that so that it's done the way he wants it done. He wants to attach himself to what you think about one another. He wants to attack your thoughts. He wants to attack your fellowship. He wants to attach himself to your clothing, to your hairstyles, to your music, to the places you go, to your Facebook account. Tell me he don't want to. He wants everything. He wants to attach himself to that so all of those things manifest his dimension instead of a godly dimension. And you're two-thirds at disadvantage when you come into this world. You're actually totally until you get the Holy Ghost. But even when you get the Holy Ghost, you still got a spirit that has to condemn those things and a flesh that ain't born again. So those things are there. And that maniac up there that spirit wanted to manifest those things. But I want you to notice, the warfare, even though there was a physical man that was, I forget how big he was, more than capable of carrying out his plans in the physical, was standing there, but it's just like any other spirit. If you could reach in there and snatch that spirit out of that man and kill it, that man would no longer be that aggressive person who's trying to hurt preachers. Right. If we could go out into communism and absolutely just destroy the spirit of communism, there wouldn't be another person that had that frame of mind. Yeah. It never happened anymore. Because it's a spirit. And Brother Branham, he waved the police officers back. Waved them back. They were going to come and apprehend this man. Do you realize that? Here's a great showdown. Was he a prophet? Did he have how many preachers do you know that would do that? You know, most of them would say, hey, Mr. Police Officer, come and get this man out of the way so I can continue telling people what I want to tell them here. Not Brother Branham. He waves them back. Oh, but he was questionable. Not in my book. He stood there, waved them back, and went head-to-head battle with the spirit that was in that man rather than the man. I tell you what, all these gainsayers and all these people that want to post all this nonsense, let them bring somebody that can do that. Let them have their guys. Who's their champions? Let them come and stand and meet a challenge and take the spirit of the devil out of somebody, which would cause that man to be subdued. Let them try that. They're just a bunch of talkers. And so that spirit wanted to manifest, and it wants to do the same thing to you. Now, what is a spirit? What is a spirit? I want you to stop and think about this. And we know, okay, well, angels from heaven and, you know, demons and all that, they're all spirits, right? They're spirits. And we they are supernatural beings. They are, meaning they're not natural in this form like we are, but they are from another realm, and they are there. They're present. They can do things and sort of things. And so they're a supernatural being. But I want you to think about it. They are supernatural beings that will anoint your thinking. They anoint the way you perceive things. They anoint you so that you stand for certain things or don't stand for certain things. They are spiritual beings that influence. How many knows that the message teaches these things? They are spirits that influence us to influence our thinking, mostly. So just the definition, I pulled it up on my phone, a dictionary on my phone. Let's see what it says. What is a spirit? A supernatural, incorporeal body. Now, in other words, it's not a corporal body like we have. Okay? It's a supernatural, incorporeal being, especially one that inhabits a place. How many has heard me say that before? Place, objects, etc. or having a particular character like an evil spirit would have. And so it can be an angel or a demon, an attitude or a principle that inspires and animates or pervades through thought, feeling, or action. So it spreads through thoughts, feelings, actions, right? It's an attitude or a principle. These are spirits. See? Spirits that will anoint people and cause them to have attitudes, principles, thoughts, and they spread through those attitudes, principles, and thoughts, and music, and clothing, and magazines, and websites, and Facebooks. They propagate these thoughts and things like that. They propagate through those things. And so, and then a divine, inspiring, or animating being or influence. So they bring an influence. So these spirits, that spirit for that maniac, his job was there to influence that man to yield to that thought, to that mentality, that way of thinking about preachers, so that he would become aggressive toward preachers. But it wasn't the man, it was a spirit. Right? Everybody understand that? It was a spirit. And so it had to manifest itself in those ways. And so I'm back to what I said a while ago. I want, especially our young people, I want you to understand that every day, all day long, you are contending with spirits, and their job is here to influence you. To influence each of you to go a certain way, to think a certain way, to perceive things a certain way. That's what they're here to do. And don't make the mistake that when you click on a video, a music video, or you listen to a song, or you go to Facebook, don't you make the mistake in thinking those spirits aren't present there then, right then, because they are. They are. If 200 million spirits, supernatural devils, according to the prophet, if 200 million of those are now turned loose on the bride, not turned loose on denominations because he's already got them in the bag, but if there ain't 200 million message believers, right? Probably not. I wouldn't think there's anywhere close to that. So you got at least 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 spirits that can be assigned to you specifically, right? Because they outnumber us as far as if you want to look at it from that way. But then in the spiritual realm, when we look at what stands for us, we're not outnumbered. You understand what I'm saying? But those spirits are there. And I don't want you to think that you can interact with things. You drive down the road and you look at a billboard sign, there's a spirit of influence that is coming, that's emitting through that billboard sign.
Yeah.
And the purpose over there is to influence you. Maybe it might be to buy something, but I'll tell you what, that's just on the surface. That's all it is, just on the surface to buy something. What Satan's doing is something a lot deeper than that. He ain't just wanting you to go buy a certain dress that's real skimpy or something. Now, he's going for your soul. That's what he's after. But you see, he knows how to make it. He's the marketing expert, right? And so that's what's going on. So these spirits are supernatural beings that influence your thinking. And what is an ism? An ism is a spirit, but I'm gonna read you what the dictionary says it is. And I didn't have to go to the dictionary to know this, but you know, it's a belief or system of beliefs accepted as authoritative by some group or school. It denotes a state or condition, a belief or a principle. But the point I want to show you here, an ism is associated, it's spirits, it's a spirit, but it's on more than one person. Ism is a movement. It's a group of people, and they submit to that thinking as being the authority. Yeah. That authoritative, and so they want to take it out and they want to propagate it to the world and force people to come into compliance. And I want to go back and mention something that I wanted to say a while ago. Spirits, when they come from beneath, when they're not from God, spirits are aggressive. They're forceful. They want to force you into things. And we'll maybe cover that in just a little bit. They want to force you, and they're aggressive. And how many has ever had to do battle with something that was that you knew was trying to influence you, that was contrary to God, and it was just, you lay down at night and it was just like a ring noise. Your mind just almost exploding from that spiritual onslaught just attacking you, just trying to consume you and break you down and give in to that spirit. How many understand what I'm talking about? Well, Satan, you know, but have you ever had the Holy Spirit do you that way? Have you ever had him come and actually make you feel like you was under attack like that? No. So there's some characteristics I want us to see as we go through these things, because I want our young people, I want everybody to recognize when something comes before you, no matter how it gets to you, whether it's a website or a friend talking to you or whatever it may be, I want you to recognize that, and I want you to know where that spirit come from and what it is you're dealing with. And I want you to be able to tell by its characteristics, by its nature and all that, what it is. And so, an ism is a spirit that gets on a group of people, and it has a cause. There's a purpose they have for standing. They got something they want to get done, right? So when these spirits go out into communism, had a spirit behind it, and it had a purpose. It had something it wanted to accomplish. Nazism, fascism, Catholicism. They all have a cause. They have something they stand for. They can probably all write you their bylaws. They can probably all sit and tell you. They do. They have their creeds. This is what we stand for. Right? They have a certain thing, and I realize to be in a corporation, you've got to do that. We had to write something, but I'm just saying that's the way of those things. They have an agenda. They have something they want to accomplish, and they stand for, and that's all they can do. That is their lot in life, is to move upon people and cause them to stand for that principle. And so, but when it's the Holy Spirit, how do you know when it's from God? What did Brother Branham tell us? See, does it tie back to the Word? Does it go back to the Word? Because if it's the Holy Spirit, he has to propagate the Word. Jesus said, his purpose for being here to do the Father's will was to save those that were lost, right? His purpose for being here was to save those which were lost. His purpose for being here wasn't to piddle around and go do something and start his own ism or nothing like that. His purpose for being here was to manifest the Word of God and to redeem and cause them to come to the Word. That was his job. And so his purpose, like I said, an ism that gets on a bunch of people and they go off doing something, when the Holy Spirit gets on a group of people called the church, we don't necessarily call that an ism because it's not identified that way through history or whatever, but it's the Spirit of God moving upon a group of people, and we have a purpose. We have something we stand for. So you see, the battle that took there comes down and anoints people, and now there's people they're standing for principles, and guess what? They clash. They clash. But it's because they each have surrendered to a spirit that is causing them to understand and stand for what they do, believe what they do. So it's spirits that anoint their thinking. How many believe that? Okay? And so spirits can be forceful. Not Holy Spirit, but evil spirits, they can be forceful and seducing, or they can be gentle and wooing. Which one would you assign to be the Holy Spirit? Gentle and wooing. Right? But typically spirits are forceful and seducing. Seducing is to lure or entice away from duty, principles, or proper conduct. To seduce someone. To lure them away. In other words, if we are to dress the way God would want us to, act the way God would want us to, have a culture about us of godliness, then these spirits would come, if they're not from heaven, these spirits would come, and in some way or fashion, one way or the other, they're going to start nibbling away and start trying to influence you, to lure you away from the duty that you have as a Christian. You have a duty to walk before the Lord, honorable and truthful, to lure you away from the principles, to lure you away from proper conduct. If you should seek out a mate a certain way, that's proper conduct on how you do that. He's going to lure you away from it. If there's a certain music you should listen to, he'll lure you away from that. And he's never going to come to you and say, knock, 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 you open the door, hi, I'm here to deceive you. He's not going to tell you that. Stop thinking that. When you click on things, you read things, you talk to people, stop thinking that there's not a devil on the other end working towards you, because they are. Right? Unless it's a Holy Ghost-filled believer that's totally surrendered, you be careful. Right? Right. Be careful. Because you've got to learn to try the spirits. You've got to learn to try them and recognize them for what they are. And so, they can be forceful and seducing. Brother Graham used the word enticing. The enticing spirits was to provoke someone to do something through often false or exaggerated promises or persuasion. So these enticing spirits, to entice people, entice them by promising to them something that's going to be really good for you, and it's almost always, almost 100%, it's almost always, and in the sake of in the example of the devil, it is always. It's always going to be leading you. It's going to be false. It's going to be exaggerated, and it's going to be some sort of promise to you that you'll have fame, you'll have joy, you'll have happiness. You'll be rich, you'll be this, you'll be liked by all these people, all these things, and he'll put those things before you to lure you, to entice you, to let down the bar, because you have to let down the bar to get those things, if according to what he tells you, right? Right? He'll tell you, let down the bar so you can have friends. The Bible says that if you'll forsake this world and follow him, he'll give to you those friends in this life and in the world to come, eternal life, right? That if you have to forsake lands and houses and all these things here, he'll give that to you 100-fold. And in the life to come, eternal life. But Satan wants to tell you, oh, you got to do this, so he's going to entice you. Now, I don't know how to say this. I don't know, I need to be careful, but, you know, I know that some people, grown people especially, understand when we say that there are spirits that will seduce, when there are things that will entice. And so I'm speaking to those of you who know, okay? If you know what I'm talking about, how that is that a spirit can come and entice you, you know that somehow or another, he's got some special way that he really, when he brings an anointing upon you, and it really becomes very, very persuasive. Very persuasive to give in to something, and you can intellectually know this ain't right. God's word said don't do it. He says stay away from these things, and somehow or another, because we have let down the bar, Satan will come and actually begin to move upon us in a certain way, and it begins to become very, very persuasive, and there begins to be something that in your spiritual being, it begins to touch those things to make you feel good, and somehow or another you begin to feel good giving in to this spirit. I mean, he knows what I'm talking about. You begin to feel good. And he's enticing, and next thing you know, you go whole hog into what that spirit wanted to manifest, and you act it out in this dimension, that other dimension. Now, if you're a child of God, and you've let that happen, that spirit has to leave you for a while, and you'll feel lower than a snake's belly. That's right. You will. And you'll crawl your way back to Calvary. And God will take you back. But the problem is people get into a cycle of that. Because that spirit will come back someday. And he does the same thing. Right? He'll do the same thing. And you'll feel lower than a snake's belly. And my point is at some point we have to realize what this dude's doing. We have to realize this dead man's walk that we're in. And begin to realize who this is. And recognize long before it gets into the state where you're anointed and it actually begins to feel good to give into this thing. Long before that happens, to step back here and see him coming down the road toward your house and just pull out your shotgun and point it at him. Don't let him get in your yard. You understand what I'm saying? We've got to do that because they're deceptive. There's that enticing, seducing side to them that actually makes it. And when he gets into that mode, you know, it's just like I've said to young people. Young people will want to go date. You know, and I realize that, you know, I could interject myself in here, and every preacher does interject his own feelings about things, you know, and that's okay as long as you're not deviating from the Word and what the Word tells us on those things. But, you know, when it's designed in a way that, you know, when a young lady and a young boy are together, well, there's something, they want to hold hands. It just eats them up. But, you know, we've got to get to a place where mom and dad's not around, the chaperones aren't around, because we want to hold hands. Is that gentle and wooing, or is that forceful? I'm going to plow. You said you wanted me to tell you the truth, see? Is that gentle, Holy Spirit, or is that forceful? It's consuming you that you just can't stand it. Why can't I hold hands with my boyfriend? Why can't I sit with him close together in church or something, and you're young or something? You know what I'm saying? It's a spirit. Amen. A spirit to let down the bar. Because holding hands, and just after about 10 minutes of doing that, that ain't good enough.
That's right.
So that's paid, that chapter in the book gets closed, and now the next thing is put your arm around him. And now you're consumed because your parents or your authorities above you are telling you, don't do that, you can't do that, and you want to know why. And it just eats you up because you can't. And I'll tell you, you've got a spirit that's attacking you. You've got to resist that and say, we've got to stand for principles here.
Amen.
God has a way for this to be done right. And so you see what I'm saying. It's a spirit that influences anything. Anything contrary to the Word comes from beneath. And if it comes contrary to the Word, it is seducive. It's to seduce you, to entice you. It is to make you compromise, to pull you away from the safety zone that you're in, to pull you into yielding so that you flesh out that hellish dimension and begin to manifest stuff here like it's there. In this series, I'm going to talk to you about those things. We're going to bring it out, what Brother Branham saw down there in hell. And we're going to bring it out and show you how the people flesh that out. And it's here now.
Amen.
That dimension has been unloosed. It wasn't that way. 150 years ago, that kettle was not loosed on this dimension. That whole series is going to take you through that and show you that there are things in this land right now to influence your thinking that wasn't here 150 years ago because it was held shut.
Yep.
And God had a time where he allowed it to come forth.
That's right.
And when it came forth, now people can begin to act and think in ways that they weren't able to because it was shut up. And so, when Brother Ram said, did you know that that name, Ricky or Elvis, he said that name couldn't be spoke till this day. Do you think that he was saying that the physical makeup of a person's lips couldn't say the word Ricky or Elvis? That's not what he was saying. What was he saying? Listen, the inspiration of those names was loosed.
Yeah.
They couldn't be spoken. Why? Because people were not inspired by those spirits yet, but when those spirits come forth, now people can name their kids something that could never be named before. And there's something of power in a name.
That's right.
Right? There's a power in a name.
And you could actually, Brother Brandon said, if you name your child that, you change his name to something else. Because when you name a name, there's an anointing that it gives the devil a right to attack that child with that name you put on it. You say, what is a name? It meant everything in the world. Old Testament and New Testament in our Bible, names were changed when people had a change of heart.
That's right.
And got victories in their life. That's why we have to have a new name to be Mrs. Jesus Christ. But you're not going to get a new name if you don't get a change of nature.
That's right.
Right? So names are talking about spirits. Names give access of spirits because you've gone before it and paved the way and say, here, Mr. Devil, Mr. Ricky Devil, attack my child. Right? So when you insist to hold hand, mom and dad ain't looking, you grab your boyfriend's hand or your girlfriend's hand. Here, Mr. Devil. Mr. Devil of adultery. Mr. Devil of fornication. We give you a right just to come right on in when you take somebody's hand and you know the authority said you shouldn't. When you know the word says there's a way to do it. Right? You're making a way for him. Just come right in there and do that. Whenever you know he says you shouldn't listen to someone and go speak it and all the things, you know when that happens, you just open a doorway for it. And so, they can be forceful and seducing or gentle and wooing. The gentle and wooing comes from the Holy Spirit. But the forceful and seducing, they're always there out to kill you, to bring you away from the Word. And everything that's out there has a spirit behind it. Come from somewhere. Did you realize nations have spirits?
Yes.
Did you realize cities have spirits? Do you realize homes have spirits?
Yeah.
Churches have spirits. People have spirits. What? Spirits, they influence. You know what Brother Ram said? Sometimes I think that we get one another's spirits rather than the Holy Spirit. He said, you go to a church and you see the pastor and he's all wild and carrying on. So will the people be? He says, sometimes I think we're getting one another's spirit rather than the Holy Spirit. Why? Because spirits influence. Spirits propagate through actions and thoughts and mentalities and all that. They propagate. Why? They want to become an ism. Spirits don't want to be by themselves, see? They don't want to be by themselves. The scripture said a spirit gets cast out. He don't want to come back by himself. He come back bring seven others with him. Spirits, when they're not in somebody, having their way, they walk through dry places, the scriptures say, right? These guys are out here. They've been loosed and they're on their rampage. And they've got to have somebody to work through and have it. And if they don't, then they have they're just walking through dry places or whatever. But they want to inhabit someone, and they why? Because they've got to manifest what they are.
Amen.
They're not at rest until they're manifesting what they are. And so, every spirit out there, nations, people, cities, whatever, they all have spirits. And people get underneath the influence of that spirit, and they begin to act out that way. And I'm probably not spiritually sharp enough to do this, but Brother Bram, I bet you could. He could probably watch a person and tell them what city they come from. Right? You can probably tell them that. I don't mean by vision say, oh, I see you, you know. I'm saying that he can look at the spirit that is upon them and probably tell you. One of the worst places in the world that I've ever been that I felt the most uncomfortable was Memphis, Tennessee. I don't like the spirit of the town. I don't. I don't like the spirit of most cities, most big cities. I just don't. Because there's a multitude of people there, which means there's a multitude of devils there. And they take upon a movement and an ism of that town, of that city. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't like those things, see? But I like the Holy Spirit. I like the spirit of His Word. I like good godly fellowship and that sort of thing. We feel comfortable with those things. You feel all irritated to start listening to a sermon and you feel comfortable listening to the Word being preached.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So it's spiritual warfare. Those spirits have come down from heaven, those that were cast out, and the kettle's been loosed off of hell, And they're manifesting here, and you and I are contending with it. And we go about thinking that we're not contending with it. We go about just acting through daily life like it's really not going on when it really is. And what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to be fleshing out a wrong spirit. First of all, even if you didn't flesh it out, but had it on you, I wouldn't want it there because it's going to keep you from making your victory and passing over into the beyond the curtain of time in the redeemed. See? So I want you to be able to recognize those things. And I want to say this. Spirits can't take someone unless you've got to be willing. You've got to give into it somehow. You see what I'm saying? There's something that has to take place, something that goes on that makes you vulnerable, makes you give in, and then they come in with more power, more force. It's that way. And so you got to resist it. And if you don't resist it, even with the Holy Spirit empowers you to say no to it. But you've got to say, yes, Holy Spirit, I'm telling no. And if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit and you say yes to that devil, he gets the strength. We talk about white dog, black dog. This is what we're talking about. Because you feed one, he's going to get be the one that's strongest. And so everything out there is a spirit. Every historical event, every major war, every major movement, all that stuff has spirits behind it. That's right. Do you know those devils can't even get along with themselves? That's right. They don't. They fight among themselves. You say, how do you figure, Brother Tom? We just look at people. Do they get along? Their influence, where's that coming from? So you see, it starts out at a very, very young age. Those things begin to manifest. And so those spirits are out there in every historical event, every war, every major, any of that stuff. It's all the spirit behind it. Brother Branham tells us this, and if you listen to your tapes, you'll know these things. And if I say something you don't remember hearing it on tape or whatever, and I quote it, and you want to ask me about it, that's fine. But Brother Branham said, you know, that with the seven church age messengers, God had a mystery. And he'd break that seal, and he'd give that mystery to that messenger. And what would that messenger do? He'd sound the trumpet. So there was seal, trumpet, live. He'd give that message to that messenger, and that mystery would come to him. That seal would be broken to him, if you want to say it that way. That seal would be broken. A mystery would be unfolded. And it would be to Paul. Let's use him for an example. And Paul would sound a trumpet. Now, a trumpet was always to gather people together. Sometimes it was, a lot of times, to gather them to war. But it was to gather them together for a feast, a feast of atonement. It was to gather them for that. And so there were silver trumpets for redemption on the Day of Atonement. Then there was the shofars that they would use. And so some of these would gather them to battle. Some of them would gather them to different things. And that's why the scripture said, if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare? Who shall prepare for war? If you don't know what the trumpet sound is sounding for, if it's what it's saying, I don't know if I'm supposed to go to the temple or go over here and get my sword. You wouldn't know. So God says, you know, there's trumpets to sound. And we know that's the way it works in the natural. And so God would say, I'm going to sound a trumpet through a messenger. Well then, how would you know what that was if you hadn't been pre-instructed to recognize that trumpet sound? See, you come to this earth with a predestinated ability to recognize the sound of a trumpet that calls you together. Right? You came, that's something God gave you in your genes. But he says a seal opens, that mystery comes forth, that messenger is taken, he'd sound that mystery, that trumpet, sound that message, and when he'd preach that message, the elect of God, which have ears to hear, they would come to that, rally around that trumpet. What? They would gather together underneath that trumpet sound, and guess what? There'd be an opponent out there, the Antichrist. His people would not gather underneath that trumpet of Apostle Paul or whoever the messenger was, but their people would gather underneath their movement, and then you'd have a clash. You'd have two churches, one that would believe the message of the hour and one that would not. Right? Everybody understand that? But there was a seal that brought this, all this come to pass, because there was a seal, a mystery that come forth, a messenger that preached it, blew that trumpet, people who gathered underneath that trumpet, and a war was set in place. And Brother Branham said that then God would, underneath that trumpet, underneath that messenger, he'd gather his elect away, tuck them away in Christ, and then drop a temporary plague upon those who rejected it. Now, remember he said that. Seals, trumpets, vials. A message coming forth and a rejection and the punishment of rejecting it. That's the process. Right? And there'd be another messenger for another age, another message for another age. Same thing. He'd bring forth, blow a trumpet, people be gathered away into it, drop a temporary plague, a temporary judgment upon the people because they rejected that message that came. And Brother Webb said he'd do that through all the ages, but he said, now when that seventh church age messenger comes, said he has no particular message, but his job is to go back and gather up all the loose ends. Right. Well, his job, he has more things to do than that. We know that. Right. But he's given a point. He's in that analogy of what he's describing those messengers in that capacity, he's saying he doesn't come with such a specific message of his own so much, even though we know he's got another portion of his ministry of opening the seals and all that kind of stuff. But his main, in this analogy, his main purpose was to go back and what Paul taught that was truth, bring it out. And what you find out, that him being the last messenger of the age, his responsibility was not only to go back and bring out what Paul and Irenaeus and Martin and Luther and all those brought, but each one of those men, there was a mystery part of them, of things that they couldn't say and didn't know or wasn't anointed to say, but it was still allotted to them. His Brother Branham's job was to go back there, bring the truths that they did teach, and then bring out the mystery behind that truth. That's what was to happen. And so, but each one was a seal being broke, which was a mystery unfolding, coming forth, being preached. That meant there was a trumpet sound because people gathered underneath it, and a battle ensued because of it. And a judgment that comes on those who reject it. It's one thing just to see truth and not recognize it as truth and walk away. It's another thing to see it and come to a certain realization of it and then aggressively attack it because you don't want what it entails or whatever. You realize that when Brother Branham talked about the unpardonable sin, that's what he talked about. When a man sees it to be truth and knows it's truth, but doesn't want to line up with it because, he might lose his fellowship card or whatever it might be. He has some other reason, something else is more important to him than following the Word. When he sees it as truth and has been shown it in the Bible and then walks away from it, that's unpardonable. Until he comes back and comes to that point, he'll never get anywhere with God. And I know at least one person personally interacting with me that did exactly that. A preacher. I won't tell you who he is. But he let me preach for 6 months in his pulpit this message in a Baptist church. And was so excited every time I seen him. He just had to talk about circumcision because he saw that truth. And I told him at the beginning, I said, You got a showdown coming because Satan won't let this keep on. Once a week I was there ministering to his people on Wednesday nights. They were the ones who were very, sturdy people. And they loved it. And he'd stand up behind me every time I'd sit down. He'd stand up time after time and he'd say, this man has not deviated from the Word, not one time. And he would tell them that. And even got to the place where some of the people wanted to be baptized and they wanted to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what they're being taught. I taught that in this Baptist church, right? Just as a visiting minister. He had people rise up when we baptized. Well, they didn't have a baptistry in that church, but the first Baptist up the street had one. So he calls on the phone to borrow theirs, goes up there, baptizes people, his people who had received in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what they wanted, in the presence of all those Trinities there. He did that. That's how far he come with it. And then turned his back on it. Turned it completely.
when the showdown came. And I said to this man when he called me, he said, well, you know, the deacons, they listen to this tape of Brother Branham, they don't like it. I said, well, brother, what did they hear in there that was, well, it wasn't too bad. I think the only thing that really bothered him was because the message where Brother Branham said, and you don't just go out here and grab a woman and say, come on, Miss Jones. He said, there's got to be a ceremony, and if you don't have a ceremony, it's adultery. And he said, and anybody that's not baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an adultery baptism. And that's the problem the deacon board had. And he said, yes, deacons, you can't come back no more. Sorry. Which, it's not about me not coming back anymore. That's not what it was. And then I can tell you the history of other things afterwards and let you know he turned his back on it. And I've seen him many times. And he just, it's like I ain't even there. See? He saw truth, even acted it out, even with enough fervor, and then turned around and back away from it and has denied it. Go back to Trinity Baptism. And I'm not here to bash him. I'm just saying, it's very close to that unpardonable sin. It's to come to those things and to realize those truths and then walk away from it. We don't want to do that. And so, that seal come forth, trumpet, means there's a war breaks out. Listen, no war is pretty. No war is nice. You see what I'm saying? If we're gathering under a message, not that we're going to go out and kill people. That's not what we're talking about. Not that we're going to go out. We shouldn't do that. But I'm saying Satan don't like it. He's going to ensue he's going to make the attack. See? Yeah. He's going to do that. But the point is to let you know that if you are gathering underneath the message, you can expect the devils to attack. If you want to try and hold a standard and not try and hold hand with your boyfriend or not put your arm around him, all that kind of stuff, if you want to hold to the truth, the standards of living that it is righteous, then rest assured as you take that stand, Satan's going to come and attack you. I hope the young people are listening because your day will come. Satan will attack you in that way. You be ready. You young people, will you do me a favor? When that time comes, don't look over here because you're married, but when that time comes, will you remember Brother Tony told you this? Would you remember that? That when that time comes, this is the devil. And I got to say no to it. And I'll tell you, the Word of God says that if you resist the devil steadfast, he will flee from you. If you, on the basis of the Word of God, if you'll say, you know what, I heard Brother Tony, I heard Brother Daniel, I heard the ministers preach this. And this is it, I see it. This is the devil. If you're based upon the Word right there from that there, if you'll in your heart say, Lord, I heard the minister preach it. This is in your Word. I'm going to hang to that. You won't have to resist that for very long until it leaves you. And it won't walk away. The Bible says he will flee. You know what happens when someone's fleeing? It's because they are scared to death. How many wants to make the devil scared? You want him just to walk away or you want to make him flee? You resist him on the basis of the Word of what you've been taught and you know is here in the Word. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't do it. You may say, well, this doesn't apply to me. It's not going to be. Don't do that. Because it will apply to you. It does apply to you. It will come. Your day, face to face with these spirits, will come. And you've got to fight against those things. And I'm speaking, and I don't know, you know, even our little bitty ones, I don't know if the Lord will tarry long enough that they have to fight some of these things that come, but may it go out into their conscience right now, in their subconscious or whatever. May it go there so that they can retain that and it come forth the time that they need it. And so all these historical things are based upon so wars. How many knows that when there's a natural war takes place, there's almost always a plague. There's almost always some sort of sickness or plague that goes out, and all these people because, and you look at it and say, well, it's because of all the unclean and all the, you know, the death and all that. We call it that, the plague. How many knows about the influenza? That was a plague. The prophet identified those things, see? And it was because, why? What was it? Think of it, in the natural. He poured out the Holy Ghost in 1906. By 1909, they denominated.
God always sends his messenger to correct. So by 1909, they denominated Pentecost, and God raised up a prophet, birthed a prophet to come and bring correction. And 1914, World War I set in, and ended in 1918, and then the plague, the influenza virus struck. What was it? A message, a movement of God come forth, right? A people gathered to it. Others didn't, but there was, they denominated. You see all the components here. And then war breaks out. In the natural, you see that, but it's spiritually too. War breaks out, and then a plague falls because of it. And Brother Branham actually identified that with that plague of that influenza virus that struck this nation, and it happened, and he tied it to that fact when the message came forth in an hour. And it was a Pentecostal message came forth. They just didn't line up to it, and that's what it come from. How many knows he said that? Brother Daniel, you remember reading that?
Amen.
See? So through this series, we're going to cover a lot of this. Because everything I said in the beginning, Brother Branham taught us what it's all laying there, and all these things will tell us right where we are and what these things are walking around out here trying to influence. You'll be able to know exactly what they are, and if you will deal with them exactly for what they are, then God will, you'll find out you'll have some power in your walk with God. You'll be able to get some stuff done that you've not seen people do because of it. And that's exactly what we're talking about. And so there's things that there are fads and movements and events and things like that we view, people view as being okay. They're not alarming, when in fact they're devils. They're anti-word. And so especially when we see those things come in our midst and in our circle of influence, we should be concerned about those things if they're like that. And so we'll be going back over these things time and time again, but I'm going to run through some stuff real quick here so I can end, because it's time for me to get done. But whenever a spirit, when you're dealing with things, and it's a spirit, we want to identify it by the word. Not what I think it is, not what you think it is, not what the world thinks it is, but what the Bible says it is. And there's a vindicated message in the land that if we'll take that, and it's a light shining on the Bible, right? When Brother Branham said there's a man who can turn on the light, you know what? I could hold this Bible open, and you can pass by every one of you in the dark, and you wouldn't get nothing from it. But if there's a man here that can turn the light on the Scriptures, then you can see what it's saying. And that's what Brother Branham's ministry was. People want to condemn that because he's holding the light on the Word. And now we can see what that Word is saying. And even if the light's removed, we still know what it says because we've caught that revelation.
Yeah.
Right? So he don't have to be here right now, but even though his man and his message is the same, so he is. And that's shining light, but we're seeing it. And if we take what the Bible says about these things and we treat it the way the Bible says we should, we're going to know exactly what's going on. We will be that people that becomes the invincible army that Satan can't do anything with at all. If they're invincible, that means that no matter what the enemy does to attack, it doesn't work. Right? I'd like to see that in my life, in your life. And so when we take and we find out what the Word says these things are, find out where it come from. Where's this spirit come from? What's its nature? And where's it going to go? Where's it going to spend its eternity if it has one? We need to be able to identify those things in the Word, and that's what I trust that in this series that we will actually be able to do that. And I'll say this. Everything that we accept in our life when it comes to spiritual warfare, everything that we accept in our life makes room for something else just like it, more of it. Whether it's the dark side or if it comes from the Lord. You tell a lie one time and it just breaks you to pieces to do it the first time you did it. But it made it easier the next time. Made it easier the next time. Right? When you give in to a spirit, and you go ahead and put your arm around that girl of yours or whatever, when you do that, it's a whole lot easier to do it the next time. Why? We sat there and said, well, that's just the way it is. No, it's because
you've made pathway for that spirit to influence your thinking. Because the second time you put your armor, you'll still think of, you know, I should do that. But you do it anyway. But it was easier this time. And the third time, I should do it. And after a few times, you don't even think about it anymore. You just do it. That part of your conscience becoming sealed. Don't even hear it anymore. You sit out in a restaurant and you hear people talk. You even hear people behind me. I listen to a man or woman behind me. Churchgoers listen this morning. Listen to, you know, not that I'm trying to eavesdrop, but I just listen to people. I'm a people watcher. I listen, whatever. Man, you gotta put stuff in your ears. Why? Because they have no sensitivity to the things that are righteous anymore. It's not there. Right? But God didn't change his standards. He didn't change. The Holy Spirit didn't just all of a sudden just melt out into something that's compromising. He's still holy. And he still influences that way. And if we flesh out the Holy Spirit, we'll still flesh out righteousness like it always was. Amen. See? It's still that way. And so when we give it to something, well, it just makes it that much easier next time around. So we need to identify these things that are coming our way. And we're going to identify all this stuff, all these spirits that come out, Hitler, all those things. Lord willing, we're going to cover all that because you will find out we are right where that prophet said. And we really are. It really could be tomorrow that we would take our body change. We're going to find out that it's really so. And we've got a battle that we've got to hold before us. Hold true to the gospel on. And so we want to identify these things with the word, and then once we identify what it is, once we can look at communism and see what it is, then we need to treat it as such. And when we, all these other spirits that we interact, when we can recognize by the word what they are, then treat it like what it is. In other words, if it's a devil from hell, you slay that thing. And if it's not, if it's the Holy Spirit, then you embrace it. If it's truth, embrace it completely. You can't really fight very well when you got your arms around somebody. Matter of fact, in the physical, if somebody's trying to fight you, if you just go up and throw your arms around them, they can't fight you. Think about it. Throw your arms around them and look. They won't be able to swing at you very easily. Something to think about. So anything we identify from the word, we need to treat it as such. Because we're in the age of the spirits being fleshed out and fruits being revealed. And we're in the age where God is bringing judgment upon the spirits that get fleshed out. And he's bringing judgment upon them. And we're in the age of the blending of dimensions. That all that God had, he's going to manifest here in his bride, in this realm, and all Satan's got, he's manifesting it too. And you know what? I don't want to do anything that acts out that fallen, that place where those evil things come from. So anything that's not word-based must go in your life. I know. I fight it too. I have all kinds of warfare myself. But anything in your life that's not conducted according to the word, it's got to go. Same way with me. It's got to go. Whether it's in public or in private, it's got to go. Whether it's in your thoughts, just what you think. Or if it's in your conversation while you speak. If it's in your actions. If it's the places you go, the things you listen to, the things you speak on your Facebook, whatever it is you're doing, it's all got to come subject to the word. And I'll tell you, that rich young ruler, he was in a pretty good spot. He'd been raised well. He was not spiritually, but he was physically wealthy. You're spiritually wealthy. You have lots of wealth. Brother Branham preached to us leadership right at the last. Well, the last thing he preached, of all the things he could pick, leadership. What? Leadership to the word. And the theme of that was there was that no matter how great this man was and no matter what he had and all that he had there, he wasn't surrendering all to the Lord. And that was the problem. And it cost him. It cost him. And so it's got to be, whether it's in thought or conversation or action, in your apparels, in your music, and in your traditions. There's a lot of traditions that people celebrate. And in this series, we're going to show you where it comes from. No doubt about it. No questions about it. So all those things have to come. And we have to make them subject to the Word. Now, why would I say this? Because God don't want you to have fun in your life. He don't want you to have a good time. No, God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. He wants you to be happy. And you, furthermore, you can be happy. You can slay devils every day on every side and be joyful. That's right. The victorious walk. There's nothing like seeing a devil go to his grave, so to speak, in your life. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. I had something that had me sick for years that I had to deal with. It was a daily battle that I had, and it kept me really at bay for a long time. And the Lord healed me of it. Because I can confess it. Lord, I thank you for healing me. I had somebody run into a day, and he said, "Hey, man, years ago," it's my uncle. Uncle Arden. He said, "Years ago, you had a medical problem with such and such and such." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you know," I said, "Well, I got to be honest with you." I said, "Lord, I thank you for healing me of this." I said, "It took a while." I said, "But he healed me of it." See, we've got to put these things in action. We've got to live it. We can't keep going any longer, saints, and just at the status, we're on a plane. Yeah, we're above the world on a message plane, but we can't stop here. We've got to go higher. Right? We've got to go until we make it to the top of that mountain where that city is. Right? In our revelation, in our walk with God. And so God wants you to have joy. He wants you to have all those things. And so what is it? If you feel like that this kind of preaching is putting a clamp on you, and you don't know, and I don't like that, and it's, you know, he's telling me I can't have Facebook. I'm not telling you can't have all that. What I'm telling you is that everything you have, you've got to clean them spirits out. Because if you don't clean those spirits out of your walk, you're not going. You're not going in to that kingdom. That's what I'm telling you. I have to tell you that. Because no spirit that's not Christ. See, that's what's going there. See, when he takes his, when he raptures, what does he take? Brother Renzi, he takes his life. Not anything else. So our lives cannot be in bondage. I realize in our flesh, the day the rapture happens, our flesh is probably going to be kicking up a fuss about having to come to church or something like it does today, you know, when it wants to land better. I understand that. But I'm talking about in your spiritual battle and your spiritual walk, we've got to be walking in victory. And those things have got to go. And so I believe the Word can give that to us. And so we expect, as these spirits go forth and influence, we expect the world to hear them, because we read the Scriptures. Hey, they are the world and they hear it. They hear the world's message. But he that's of God, he hears God. Right? He hears the Word. So we expect them, the people of the world, to hear those kinds of spirits and to follow after their purposes and rally around their trumpet sounds. We expect that. But but we, as the bride of Christ, right, we recognize the voice of the Word. And we need to speak the Word. Yeah. We need to speak the Word, and we need to prove all things from the Word. And if we can find anything that Brother Branham taught in the Bible as truth, if we can look at that and say, you know what, I didn't know the truth behind that, but when he come along and said the things that he did, and I looked at it, it just exploded to me. That concept of him shining a light on that, when that happens right there, that's truth for you to walk in. And you'll whip devils left and right with that.
That's right.
But not if you don't ever pull it out of your tool pouch and use it. See? So we're at this time, as I mentioned the other day, we're at the time where this eating of this wonderful message that has been so sweet for so many years in our mouth, we find out, you know what? God intends for us to live this thing. He intends for us to come victorious in our life, private, public, whatever. And we all have skeletons in our closet. There's no question about that. Some of us probably, but some people probably have closets that got put in there this last week. Skeletons. But the point I'm getting at, I ain't worried about that. I'm talking about, what about this week? That we don't put any more skeletons in our closet this week till we don't want nobody to know.
It'd be nice for us to be able to say, Father, I thank you. I know you hear my prayer right now because I always do those things that are pleasing in my sight. Wouldn't it be nice to have that testimony? Saints, we're going to have it. Because we'll either become full-fledged, full-blown, word-breathing bride, sons of God in adoption, or we'll become the worst Judas there is. Brother, I said that log laying in the stream of life had decayed and become doughy. Stepped on it, it crumbled. Looked like it was good on the outside. Stepped on it, crumbled. He said it was laying there in the stream, the water going over it, and he said it decayed that much quicker because of the condition of where it was at. A person can sit in the house of God, and if they don't come in closer, they'll decay so quick. You want to know why people who were in the churches for so long and they have stepped out and become the Judases of the hour? Right? Because while they were there, they weren't absorbing it and letting it move. And I'm not trying to put a sign over everybody out there that's caught up in rejecting the message. I believe there's some out there that are just sheep that have been led wrong and they're still sheep. Okay? And I'll always fight for that. But I also know there's some Judases out there that they have that purpose. But until we adopt all these things that God has shown us and begin to actually put them in place in our life, we're just set right there. When we're in that hour, we're now that food, that word, that book that we've taken, we've got to absorb it. Right? We've got to digest it. And so it's not, as I said a while ago, it's not to make your life miserable. But it's to tell you, love is corrective. And it's to tell you, you can't go if you don't get those things out of your life. Right? That's what it's to tell you. Amen? But I believe in this, just even in this series right now, you pray for me because I know it's been a spiritual battle for me. But I see the spirits of this hour in a different light. And I tell you what, it's given me a lot of strength to deal with things in manners that I wasn't so good at so much, you know, and seeing and hearing and watching what's going on. God wants us to know exactly what these things are and put them in right in the proper perspective. And it'll give you, revelation will give you power and give you strength. I don't say power because we don't have power, we have authority, but it gives you revelation power. It gives you revelation stamina when God reveals these things to you. And if we could look and say, you know what Brother Graham said, if a woman, you know, the Bible says if a woman puts anything on pertaining to a man, you know, it's an abomination. Brother Graham comes along and says that. If I could show you more ways of looking at that same truth, and you see it from more avenues, that it is true, that a woman shouldn't put on those things pertaining to, if a woman cuts her hair, that's the truth. If I can show you more ways of looking at that from the scriptures, every time you see that one more truth, the more word should give you more faith, right? Because faith comes by hearing. Well, we're going to do that in this series. We're going to show you a lot of things from a different point of view that maybe you haven't seen, maybe you have, but all in all, when this is over and done with, I expect you to be able to slay some devils that you might not be doing so good of a job at defeating today. That's what I believe will happen. So you pray. We'll let Brother Tim, the musicians, come as we bow our hearts to him. What I don't want to do, and it's hard, is I don't want to try and, you know, I heard Brother say this, but hey, you got the little square bales out there and you got the great big round bales. And what I don't want to do is try and give you round bales every week when I really just need to give you a square bale. You understand? I don't want to overwhelm you, but I want you to see this spiritual battle and warfare in a different light, allow you to have a little more strength. Let's bow our hearts to him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we having this time this morning speaking these things that comes from your word, Lord, realize that it would put its finger maybe on a lot of places in people's lives and in my life too, Lord. But, Lord, you've ordained us to come to a strength in this hour like your church has never had. I believe that. And I believe that this little group is blessed among all the groups of the world. Lord, I can say we're probably blessed more. That's the way we feel. And it's not that we don't have obstacles. Lord, we do. We see those things. And we have to push, push. Keeps us fit, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Lord, because you are calling us and moving and working in the direction that you are. We believe, God, that you will give us the strength that we need to fight these battles ahead. We do believe, God, that revelation will give us the revelation power, Lord, to defeat our enemies. We commit this time in your hands. These things that have been said, pray that you would allow your saints to absorb them. Remember them, Lord, as the services come ahead in the future with this series. I pray, God, that they would remember the things they've heard thus far, and that when the time comes that they can put the things they've heard now with the things they will hear, Lord, that it will be a blessing to them. And I pray, God, for those that are missing today, somehow, Lord, that you would give them chance and time to hear the sermons, listen to them, and be fortified the same way, Lord, so in future sermons they, too, can get the full benefit of what you're sending, Lord. I pray and ask, God, that you be with us today in our fellowship as we go. May you be glorified in all things. May you protect us and keep us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's all stand. Apologize for it being a little bit longer than I normally would speak, but amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
We've got the
go to squeaking and all the cars come to the stop. Yeah. Right? Why? Because if you don't, the whole city will come down on you like a ton of bricks. Yeah. Right? The law of the land will make you comply. Right? So we don't have strength in ourselves, right? But God has given us the authority that we can throw up our hand and say, Satan, you got to stop. Right? Now you got to do that. You can't sit out there and say, I wish the cars would stop. Right? Wish they'd just stop. You got to step out there and say, shh, put that hand up and watch what happens. Yeah. Right? Watch what happens in every aspect of your life. You got to do that.
Amen.
In private, in public, in all your computer, you know, cell phone time, all those things, everything about your life. And remember, David won victories out in the public when he won victories in private. That's right.
So those things that are done in the closet will be proclaimed openly, and all those things that are hidden that we brought out, scriptures talk about that. And so it's what we really are down inside. That's who we really are. And that's what eventually will come out. These people have been walking the message for years and years and years. And eventually see, because what? Spirits aren't ordained to sit in the corner and just be a spirit. They have to manifest. And Judas had to manifest himself before upper room. Because if he'd have went to upper room, he'd have become our brother. Right? So these things have to happen. See? So why am I saying that? Not for us so much to look out there, but I'm talking about our anointings. What are we anointed with? What's going to manifest in our life? Because if we're not walking with the Lord, it might be something else to manifest at some point. And the only way you can get from point A to point B is that it begins to deviate from the Word. It has to deviate somewhere. Like Brother Ben said, somebody come in and sit down in the quietness of the Spirit and everything's fine, and then all of a sudden they go through the church with something. Well, see, that they have to deviate somewhere, but they'll come in the quietness. Those spirits will come in and it'll just be real, you know, just a real simple Facebook account, a real simple song maybe that you think it is, a real simple friendship with somebody, a real simple little magazine you might read. Be a little something like that. He will come alarming. And he'll woo you until eventually you get to the place where you're on ground that would have alarmed you, but it don't alarm you because you've been wooed into it. This is what happens in our walk. We've got to put a stop to it. Right? We've got to put a stop to it in our lives. And I think God's ready to do that. Amen? Are you ready?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I am. I'm tired of being me. I want to be him. Right? God bless you. It's been good to be here with you this morning. Today's Fellowship Sunday. Everybody come out and please eat a sandwich is what we're having and just have a little bit of fun. You can stay all afternoon if you want, but just I want you to know that everybody's welcome, even if you didn't bring anything. And just be blessed and go in the name of the Lord.